The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I love your show.
Let me show you what it looks like to be a holy person, and maybe you'll want to be holy like me.
You just patted yourself on the back.
You seem like an honest guy.
But you're a psychologist. Do you have some advice?
I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
You're my second favorite Italian person.
I think you have a way of making people feel relaxed.
She needs to feel the consequences of being a jerk.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
Obviously, I'm a failure. Obviously, I'm inept.
You are awesome. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Hard to be sensitive, nurturing, empathic, understanding, loyal, true blue. I don't have a thesaurus in front of me. Those are just off the top of my head. Normally, I throw humility in there right at the front, but I'll just kind of drop it down to the third or fourth quality. Yeah, can you imagine somebody first tuning into this show? A holy, faithful person, a truly humble person, a kind person, and hearing that, thinking, what is this? I thought this was Catholic radio. What is this, the antithesis of every virtue we try to teach our children to try to live by? Not the total antithesis. I'm Dr. Ray Grandy. Thanks for joining me here. No, you when you look in a thesaurus, they always give you the antonyms, the opposites. They always list those. And those antonyms are just as useful sometimes as the synonym that you're looking for. So this kind of aberration in broadcast quality can be helpful. The number to get onto the program, should you want to, is 877-573-7825. You will be in contact immediately with Eric Dumont, who's back on the phones. And if necessary, Andrew Krucek will be there too. He's the producer man. He controls a lot of the buttons and things. Eric talks to the people. What else? I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living. But here, I just want to be able to educate and give some thoughts and ideas. No diagnosing, no therapy. The number to get onto the program, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. If you got a question about something in your life particular to you or maybe someone else, although I got to tell you, those are harder to deal with. When you call in and you say, well, I know this person who knows this person who's a second cousin once removed brother's sister-in-law, and I really want to know how to make them do this. That gets a lot tougher. I got to tell you, you know as well as I do, personal change is very tough. When you remove it by one or two people and say, how do I make another person change? Oh, gosh, you exponentially increase the challenges. Nevertheless, we'll see what we can do, if nothing else, to give you a little more peace about all of that. Generic questions. Cindy up there, she always has a good generic question. I like them. Good stuff. Actually, she trying to help me out with monologues, I think, is what it is. Okay, well, that's enough of that. Have you heard about the concept body language? Body language. Back in the 80s, maybe even in the 70s, there were some books that came out that were mega sellers on teaching you how to read someone's body language, as though it were a second form of communication. Yes, people can say words, and they can lie when they say words, but your body doesn't lie, because they're not even aware of what their body is saying. If someone is talking to you and sounding very agreeable, but notice they have their arms folded across their chest, in a very closed way. It's a demeanor that is being expressed by their limbs. Or maybe they're looking off to the side. You know, there's some things about the body language. So if you want to truly hear the message of someone, you know, don't pay so much to their words. Don't pay so much attention to their words. Look to their body. What is it saying? What is its communication? Now, before I go any further, yes, there are those, and there is some research support for this, on discerning when you're a professional, say, for example, a debriefer or someone that's involved in intelligence, and you are a professional, an FBI agent, and you're interviewing someone, watching their eyes, watching signs of nervousness. Okay, you got that. But this body language movement goes way beyond that, way beyond. I remember one time reading the book, and they talked about how you have your hands in your pockets. If you have your thumbs on the front of your pockets with their four fingers out, leaning down, well, that's supposed to mean something. If you're leaning on one foot, well, that's supposed to mean something. The way you sit, that's supposed to mean something. I took a course in grad school. It was called Gestalt Therapy. Gestalt Therapy was some fellow way back. I think his name was, I forget his first name, but his last name was Gestalt. He was a German psychotherapist. Had a whole lot of ideas on personality. So this particular prof was big into Gestalt Therapy. He said something in class, and I raised my hand. And I said, I remember what it was. Here's what it was. It was, talk about body language. The way you eat your food shows the way you take in information. If you chew your food at length, well, you're a critical thinker. You analyze the information. If you take big bites and you just swallow those big bites, semi-whole, well, you're an uncritical thinker. You just take in information and you're gullible or gullet-able. I raised my hand. I said, is there any kind of research or personality evidence that says this? Now, you'd think he'd say, well, here it is. It's not what he said. He said, I noticed you're leaning back. Because we, in Gestalt Therapy, you didn't sit in desk. You sat around the room leaning against the wall. Had to do that, you know. That was those days in the 70s. You're leaning back. Is that indicating an uncertainty in your question? So I leaned up. Got my posture up. And I said, is there any research that would indicate this relationship? He said, I noticed your legs are crossed. Is this indicating some kind of ambivalence in the question here? So I uncrossed my legs and I put them straight out. I asked the question again. He made some other comment about the position of my arms or the position of my eyebrows or my hair being combed a certain way. I don't know. At that point, I gave up. When I did my dissertation, it was about the effectiveness of certain forms of information. Social history, psychological testing, interview, basic demographic data. And I had to review the research, see what the research said about various forms of information. Part of my review dealt with body language. Nonverbal cues is what they're called. You know what the research says? I'll summarize it for you. You got a pencil. This is kind of hard to spell. Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot of information is added. And as a matter of fact, it can be misleading. The conclusion was, if you really want to know what somebody thinks, listen to what they say. Words and out loud communication are generally much more reliable, much more valid than the fact that I'm leaning back against the wall when I asked my question. I wanted to know the research and see if there was any backup on that. Instead, he thought I was uncertain of myself because I was leaning back. Actually, the reason I was leaning back was because I was more comfortable that way. And I had my hands behind me with my palms flat on the ground because that was just a nice way to sit. Much of body language is simply habit, simply comfort, the way people prefer to orient their body in space. Now, I do a radio show. I cannot see any of you folks at all. So I can't draw any conclusions about your body language. I don't know where you're sitting. I don't know if you have your pajamas on. I don't know if you're looking down when you're asking me the question. I don't know if you're blinking at a high rate, which, by the way, does seem to have some scientific support for nervousness or lying. High rate of blinking. So I'm not going to blink right now. I don't think you're blinking. We'll get to your calls right after this. I'm Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825.
Don't touch that dial. Dr. Ray will be back.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up. Don't go anywhere. And that's a doctor's order.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I enjoy hosting Open Line Tuesday because of the variety of questions that our listeners call in with. The show also gives me the opportunity to personally connect with Catholics and non-Catholics all over the world, telling me as host what their cares and concerns are in the areas of faith, family, and fellowship.
Open Line with Father Wade Menezes, this afternoon, 3 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going
to
follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Dr. Rigorendi, the doctor is in, highly trained, a graduate of Catholic Media's School of Articulation, and stuff. You know, one of the things that does really kind of shake me, but listen to the professional hosts on so many of these cable network news stations. These people get paid major league dollars. They get paid more dollars. They pay more in probably taxi fees than the hosts of Catholic media get paid. Listen to them ask questions. Okay, so, I mean, given that that this situation would sort of, be the, I am amazed. Now, I do some of that, too, and I have to watch myself, and I don't really review what I sound like I should, because I don't like to hear what I sound like, because I don't like what I sound like. But listen.
I don't pay. Yeah.
There you go. Pay attention. They start out with well. They start out with so. They start out with listen. They start out with look. They have a lot of I means. They say, let me ask you a question, as though the person is sitting there not ready to be asked a question. Fillers. Kim from Memphis, Tennessee. That's me. Kim from Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Thank you for the call.
geez.
You're up here.
Okay. So, my teenage son recently told me that he's been under a lot of stress, and I was like, well, what's going on? And he said that he's been dealing with addiction to pornography for a while, which I actually suspected, but that he's dealing with it. He's got an online, I said, we can't do this alone. He goes, I know, I'm getting a help group, something online, I don't know what. And he's very independent. He doesn't like to talk about things, that he likes to handle things himself, and he thinks he, you know. And I know he meditates every day. I ask him if he prays every day. He says, yes. I don't know the degree of that. We have done adoration a few times together since summer started, but I just feel like I need to help him. And he was like, nope, I've got this. Don't worry about it. But I don't know what to do. And he doesn't want me. Obviously, he said, I'm telling you this in confidence. And so I can't bring it to anyone I know to try and tell them what to do.
Kim, how did he get access to the porn?
They had to have a computer through school.
You have any kind of safeguards on that computer? Have you paired that computer to your devices?
It can't be because it's just a platform. It has no hard drive. I've tried everything when they first got it. I spent tons of money buying all sorts of things and had to send them all back. And there was, I even talked to the people at the school, and they were like, yeah, there's nothing that can be loaded on it. There was only one thing we could do through a router, and we didn't have access to the kind of service that it needed for the router. I tried everything.
I'm not technologically savvy enough to know. It would seem to me that there would be ways to protect. But that horse has already left the barn. Unfortunately, I would be extremely angry at the school. Extremely.
Oh, yeah.
I would probably take it to a board meeting because they have told me that there's nothing they can do. I know you're saying Covenant Eyes. They're typing in Covenant Eyes on my screen.
Covenant Eyes could not be loaded. I tried it. I talked to them. They said, no, this is a Catholic school, by the way. And I had this conversation with the Catholic school when I talked to the person in charge of the technology department and told him about these problems. His response was, well, just make sure that he does all his work in front of you. In high school, mind you.
Yeah, I'd take it higher myself. I'd go to the bishop myself. But that said, let's look at this.
The problem is I don't want like the whole community knowing about my son's struggles.
Well, they don't have to know about it. I mean, you can assume that this is going to be confidential. You would hope. They're not going to say, "Yeah, Kim came in telling me about her son there or the other." No. Okay, let's leave that aside for now. This is disgusting. All right, but we'll leave that aside. What has happened to you and your son? My first instinct is not to believe your son. He's saying, I'm getting help. I want to stop this. I don't want to do it. Why hasn't he said, Mom, take this thing from me, and I will only do my work in the kitchen in front of you. I won't do it in my bedroom. I won't do it anywhere that you can't see it. And if you're not around, I'm not going to do any work because you have my Chromebook. But he hasn't done that. Now, he may be ashamed. That would be good. But he may also be leaving the door open in case he gets the urge again. I would sit down with him and say, I am going to help you, son, no matter what you say, because I don't think that you can do this on your own. So, given that, we will deal with this, and I will totally, completely have possession of your school Chromebook. That's it. Now, if he reacts strongly against that, if he doesn't say, okay, Mom, thanks, I think I need that help because I'm not sure I can control myself. If he gets belligerent, Kim, that's telling you something. It's telling you that although he might want to quit, he still wants to leave the door open in case.
Well, here's the other problem. He's about to turn 18, go off to college.
Well,
he has a phone.
Well, let me ask. I didn't ask you about the phone. Is it a smartphone?
Oh, yeah.
And when did he get it?
About 2 years ago.
Okay. So he was rather older when he got it. But the problem is, again, if he is, and you use the word addicted, if he is addicted, then get him a flip phone with no internet. Because right now, Kim, what you're saying is, I think he wants help, but he's not willing to do the kinds of things that would make it impossible for him to not be pulled back into this. That makes me real nervous. All right, good luck to you, dear. By the way, go to either Jason Evert's website or Matt Frad's. Matt Frad has some good stuff too. Fraad, Matt Frad, and get some good information on how to deal with this, where to go with it, what kind of help you can get with it. They should have really nice stuff for you. Matt Frad has a great Australian accent, but you probably can't tell it unless you watch his videos. Thank you, Kim. Let's go to Cindy from Bismarck. Hi, Cindy. How are you? Cindy, did I wake you up?
Hey, Dr. Ray.
What'd you do, doze off? Some people do that during this show.
It seemed like we broke out for just a second.
Yes, well, you are back on, so be very careful. This call may be monitored for quality assurance. What's your question here, Cindy?
I have a question for you. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. How can the concept of authority influence the advancement of a religious discussion?
What do you mean by that?
Break it?
Well, what do you mean? Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, I'm just wondering if that concept is brought into the discussion, can it sort of close down further? Can it sometimes make people angry? Can it shut down the conversation?
I did a manalogue 3 years ago. No, it was yesterday. About my theory, how a lot of people function, especially those who don't like moral authority, don't like the church's authority. And I called it, "You're not the boss of me," manalogue, which is like a three-year-old saying, "You can't tell me what to do." I think if you're talking with somebody, for example, abortion, same-sex marriage, contraception, any of the traditional historic Christian morals that have been abandoned by much of Christianity, sadly, and you bring in authority, if they're not in any way either recognizing the authority of traditional Christianity or the church, or they recognize it up to the point where it clashes with what they want to do, you're right. That is a venue, a place where they won't go. What I do, and I think this is a nice way to go. The church, given its guidance by God, is what we believe, its morality is grounded in reality. I did a segment on the TV show called Morality Reality, which is God's morals work. They're grounded in not only science, but biology. Stay there, because I want to advance on this a little bit more. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. Talk to Eric Dumont first, and who knows, once you talk to him, you may not even want to talk to me. He's kinder and gentler. He's a young father.
What's stopping? stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Is your parish on fire? What I mean is it a place where the people in the pews are in love with Jesus Christ and want to make him loved? If your parish suddenly got deleted, would your local community in town even notice? The Catholic Church has always emphasized that the parish is meant to be the center of evangelization, where the sacraments are not only dispensed, but actively received and celebrated. This is why I designed a one-night parish mission called Recharge. There's no cost to the parish. Anyone can come, especially inactive Catholics. Recharge is a mix of evangelization, catechesis, and an open Q&A session where you can blast away with hard questions and get practical, biblical, actionable answers. Find out more at patrickcoffin.net/recharge. That's patrickcoffin.net/recharge. This is Patrick Coffin. Be a saint. What else is there?
It never ceases to amaze me that every time I watch Mother Angelica or read one of her books, I always learn something new. In this new book, What is Heaven?, Mother offers this. The joy of heaven, she says, is always going to be fresh. In heaven, because God is infinite, there is no end to the things we can learn about him. He will be forever new to us.
What is Heaven? By Mother Angelica. From EWTN Publishing. Visit EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
You know, I've never really punched anybody in the face. Oh, of course, I've used some pretty punchy words. But I haven't punched anybody in the face. Wondering that was alluding to. It was alluding to the fact that most of us get upset at people because of words. Most of us have never been smacked. It's words that do it to us. 877-573-7825. This is Dr. Ray. I'm talking to Cindy from Bismarck. The question is, can you advert to authority, turn to authority, to influence the advancement or to make your case in a religious discussion, or does that turn people off? You still there, Cindy?
Yeah. Thanks, Dr. A. Yes.
Point I was making before we were so rudely interrupted by that two-minute break was that most people, I'm not going to say most. Well, yeah, I'm going to say most, because if you're disagreeing with core traditionally Christian morality, like, say, abortion, most people you're going to argue with don't agree with you. And it's because, one, they're not believers, or they're marginal believers who decide, yeah, I believe that there's a God, and maybe I even believe that Christ is God, but that doesn't really influence my morality. Come on. And I made the point that God's morality works. It is grounded in reality. It's grounded in good sense. It's grounded in biology. It's grounded in science. It works. God's not going to tell you to do something if you have to suspend all rationality to take it in. So what I do with people who don't agree, I don't rely on authority. I rely on reality, common sense, biology. I rely on their own view of things. I might say something like, when does it become a baby? Why do you think it's not a baby? What will happen to that multi-celled being if you don't interfere with its development? I just go biology. I don't even deal with the authority aspect. Now, if you got a believer who's having trouble with traditional Christian morality, then I might go a little bit the authority angle by saying, why do you believe what you believe about this aspect? Christ is God. Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Why do you believe that God created the universe. Why do you believe these things? And then they'll tell you, well, I believe because I said, well, there's a lot of atheists who don't believe this. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't look at the Bible as authority that Jesus was God. They don't believe that.
Well, I just happen to believe that the Bible's true.
Okay. So then, in fact, Jesus is God?
Yes.
Okay. Then if you believe that the Bible is true, do you believe he also established authority? A church?
Well, I guess he did.
Okay. Then are they allowed to teach?
Up to a point.
How do you decide where that point is? You see what I'm saying, Cindy? I mean, if you got a believer, but you got a believer who is marginal in what they accept from the church or from Bible, which sadly, by the way, is an awful lot of people who call themselves Christians nowadays, then you say, well, okay. How did you get to the point where you believe that there is a God or that Christ is God or that the Bible is his revelation? How did you get to that point? And what does that imply about obedience? If the Bible is the word of God, then do you follow it?
Well, it doesn't say anything about abortion.
Perhaps not as directly as you would like, but it does talk about life, and it does talk about a church having authority to teach. If you decided that that isn't good enough, and I don't challenge them. I'm kind of like a psychologist who sits there in the first interview and says, I want to know how you think. I really want to understand how you got to this point in declaring what you declare. And Cindy, you're going to find out, if you already haven't, most people have not thought through how they think. They say stuff, and it's their opinion, and it's grounded on maybe an inch deep worth of reasoning. But if you make them really scrutinize it by asking hard questions, they have not gone there.
It's a woman has a right to do with her own body what she wants.
Can she take drugs? It's her own body. Does she have to put her seatbelt on? It's her own body. Why does she have to wear a helmet? It's her own body. If she goes into a doctor and says, cut off my finger, I don't like it. It's her own body. See, they just utter these mindless cliches as though they're revelations dropped from heaven. Just my thoughts, Cindy.
All righty.
All right. Thanks for the call, honey. April is calling from Florida. She's been waiting for 2 months. Hi, April.
I think it's been 2 years.
2 years? You've been putting up with all that?
I know. It's good listening. What can I say?
Have you gotten smarter?
I don't know. I'll let you know in a couple of days. Let it absorb in.
Have people noticed? Have they said, April, you're different? You seem, I don't know,
so much. They've said that my whole life.
Well, okay, all right. Yeah, maybe I better qualify that. You seem a little more erudite than you used to seem. They don't say that?
Nope, they don't.
Then you haven't been listening to this program as close as you say, April.
This is the first time I've listened and the first time I've called in.
Are you serious? Okay, just out of curiosity, how was it that you stumbled upon this program?
Hitting the forward button on my radio.
It's pure accident.
Yes.
This isn't something that you said, well, I listen to Catholic media, so I'll just check and see what show is on right now. You're just kind of floating through the stations, and you're hearing some guy sounding a little bit jerky, but at the same time thinking, well, let's see what he has to say. The advice is free.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a little weird like me, but pretty right on. So I'll call in.
Well, yeah. Okay, you made the diagnosis of weird in a rather short time, April. You need to listen a little longer. Who is bullying you at work?
The manager.
Woman or man?
Female.
What is it that she bullies you about?
Pretty much across the board, if there's something that could be construed as being malicious, that is her take on it. And so if I do something incorrectly, it's that I'm doing it on purpose and at her, which is not how it happened.
Does she do that with others?
I don't know how to. She has done that with people before. I don't pay close enough attention. I go there, I do my work, I'm busy with my customers, and I leave. So, yeah, I don't really involve too much.
Have other people said, yes, I've had to deal with her?
There's been two people that have said that they felt that that happened. It's been okay. The last 3 months that I've been busy taking classes and not able to pay attention as much as I probably need to.
Okay, stay right there. Don't go away. You waited this long. I'm going to try to win you over with some natty pieces of advice. This is Dr. A.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
That's happy music. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thanks for joining me. Just a couple quick things, good Lord permitting. I'm going to be in Glenview, Illinois tomorrow at the North Shore Country Club. That's the, I think that may be a closed group club for Catholic women. However, on the 13th, North Texas Seton, that's in Dallas. You want information on that, go to the Immaculate Heart of Mary website, homeschool, Immaculate Heart of Mary homeschool. You want to head out there. The whole Dallas area, we know we have a lot of folks in the Guadalupe listening turf. That is open to the public, so you are more than welcome to go there. I got to find out where the venue is quickly. I know it's, I believe it's in Grapevine, which is a suburb of Dallas. I'm talking to April. She is calling from Florida. She just essentially bumbled upon this program. She was doing the she was doing a search and she found me, which is more than my wife can do when I'm saying I'm playing softball and it's going into extra innings. She said, I'm searching for Ray. She has a GPS on my bat. So April has a female supervisor at work, and it sounded like April works in some kind of commercial setting, like a store or something like that, April?
It's a salon industry. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, so okay. Okay, so you take care of hair and all that stuff to make people look good.
Yeah. For
whatever. You said something interesting right before you left. Before I left, you said, I've been taking some classes for the last 3 months, and maybe I've gotten a little distracted. So are you saying that you're not as sharp this last 3 months as you were prior to that?
With the people around me at work, there's probably things I'm missing, little cues. But with my clients, it's no problem. I'm totally doing great with that.
That's right. You better not mess up a woman's hair because they will slash your tires.
Absolutely not. I leave everything at the door, and the focus is on them.
Why do you think that this supervisor is picking on you, is nitpicking anything you do and taking that you're making her look bad?
I'm not really sure. I've spoken to the owner, and she doesn't understand, but she sees that, you know, this person pretty much has it out for me now, and so I'm actually looking for a different place to work. Because it's such a challenge. So the owner is at a loss because she doesn't understand and she doesn't get it.
Does the owner want to lose you?
No. Mm-mm. No.
Would you leave that job if that supervisor were not doing this?
Yeah, I would not leave it, no. It's a great place.
Then let's not give her the power to do that.
They're close friends.
Is she going to go to the owner and say fire her?
No, they're just close friends, and the owner is uncomfortable with the situation. So I just thought it was best. You know, we both believe that it's best that I just go ahead and go.
You've talked to the owner, and the owner has said, if she's doing this to you, maybe you should just look for another place.
No, she said, I don't know what to say. I just want to have, you know, there to be calm and peace in the environment. So I said, well, it doesn't sound like she's going to have any change out. So I think it's just best that I find another place to work because I don't want any trouble.
Here's the thing, though, April. So, it's not best because you said you like it there. Without her picking at you, you really enjoy all kinds of things about where you work. So one thing you got to do is figure out how to not let this woman get to you. You can stare at her when
exactly
she says
my
something.
Problem.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's being obnoxious. She's picking.
Right.
She is motivated for whatever the reason. She doesn't like you. She doesn't think you're competent. I don't know what her reasoning is. Get you out of there. It's probably because you're beautiful and she's jealous of you. I don't know. But given that, you have a lot within you to not let her get to you like this. To look at what she says as her problem. You didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Or if it's correctable, you correct it. But if not, if she's just being a jerk, let her show herself.
Yes.
Let other people see her. Yes. Let the owner realize this is unfair what she's doing. And even though she's my friend, I don't like what she's doing because April's not fighting with her. April's not arguing with her. April's not making excuses. April is not doing anything to fuel this.
Right.
If that's the case, my dear, and I'm a big believer, you don't leave someplace unless it's absolutely necessary. If you like the place, then you do what you can not to let whoever it is in that place drive you out.
I wish that was the case, but the camaraderie there is just too tight. These people have been friends forever. I think the other thing might be the whole pot smoking. You know, she's the weed dealer thing. That might be part of it. I don't
know. Whoa. You didn't throw that one in there till the last minute. Yeah, it might be a problem with drugs there, too. Okay.
But it's legal. Then, you know, they have their cards, so it's okay.
I know. Well, then there are other reasons, not just this woman's persnicketiness.
Right.
Okay.
But those things I can deal with.
Well, let me leave you with this so that you come back and listen again sometime without doing it at random.
Okay.
If you leave,
make
it be because you decided, on balance, all the things that are going on there, and you have skills, and there's a lot of salons that would hire you, You lead because you wanted to and you decided to, not because you were inept or unpleasant or a socially difficult human being that nobody wanted to be around. Make sure it's none of that. All right. Hey, April, you listen back sometime. I'll talk to you. Thank you, honey, for the call. Bye now. I remember when I was a kid, my dad would take me to the barber shop, because we have barber shops in those days, and I forget what a haircut was. It was a 50 cents, something like that. And they'd give us a butch. Remember what a butch was? They just basically take the shaver and just shave your head. Made the military cuts look like they were dreadlocks. Well, now I get a cut, and it's $50. And I got less hair. I don't get it. And not too many barbers left out there anymore. The lady's been doing my hair, started when she was 22, and she's been doing it for 30 years. $50. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray. I would very much like to hear from you. Give me a call.
Relax. The doctor is in.
The EWTN home video highlight for May is the story of Father John Sullivan. A Protestant born into a life of privilege, he left everything to follow God's call to become a Catholic priest and serve the poor and afflicted. And the faithful were blessed with countless miracles. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or call 1-800-854-6316.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
The only program in all of Catholic radio with the broadcast delay set for the host, and it isn't your basic 7-second delay either. I know. I don't know who's behind all this. It's either the big wigs at Ave or EWTN. I said, well, how long of a broadcast delay do you want to put on my show? They said about 52 minutes. I said, that's the whole show. They said, what's your point? Still negotiating, trying to get it down to 30 minutes. Henry from Oakhart, Indiana, has a solution to the last caller. Worked for him. Hi, Henry.
I do. I used to have a boss that was just mean as could be. And when I started there years ago, I was a kid in the shop. I was the youngest one there. But talking with a friend of my dad's who is kind of a wise guy, come up with a solution. I tried it out and it works. It's beautiful how it turns out. So if you have a boss who likes to micromanage you or just to get right on you and they're mean, you know, they're picking, I make him my best friend on earth. Oh, you're going to be my little buddy. You're not going to make me mad. As a matter of fact, we're going to be good friends. And so what happens is they get worse. They're yelling. They're trying to get to you. And, you look at them smiling like, why is my buddy here mad? What's wrong? You need a hug? I got you. I'll take care of you. Whatever the problem is, let's fix this. Let's work on it. And it drives them insane. But I went through about 3 years of this, and the end result was they give up. And then, you're both laughing about it. I was laughing, and he was laughing, and we had an understanding. Like, look, we don't need to be mean to one another. Just be nice. But you really do. You go through quite a bit of abuse. And I just seen it as, okay, this is actually funny. It really did. It used to bother me really, really bad.
How did you begin the whole process of making this fella a friend rather than an enemy?
It's something internal first. You know, you got to take their power away. And, you got to talk to yourself like, okay, this person's not going to bug me anymore, so let's turn the tables. You know, it's like your in-house psychological warfare. First, you got to get yourself prepped. And then when you get the chance to get them in, close quarters or when they're angry or whatever the situation is, gives you opportunity. So here's the deal. You obviously are upset. So what we're going to do, we're going to be friends from now on.
Well, it isn't. I'm not hearing you say, Henry, that you're going to be friends. What I'm hearing you say, forgive the psychobabble, is that you decided to be agreeable. You decided to be a problem solver with your boss. If the boss's style is terrible, you ignored his style and you listened to his complaint. And you said, how can I make your complaint change me? What can I do about what you said rather than reacting to how you said it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you got to put your emotions, right behind you. You really do. You just got to, hit these things head on. I think you're more accurate than how I described it, but I did tell my boss that was this way. He's, from now on, he's going to be my little buddy.
I don't know if you could leapfrog to that one. Maybe from now on, I'm going to be a little more agreeable.
The look on his face was absolutely priceless. He sat back just dumbfounded, and in my head I'm going, okay, what do I do now? Just keep
going.
Have you
heard of a saint called Saint Therese the Little Flower?
No.
She was in a convent, a very young girl in her early 20s, and there was a sister there who absolutely gave her grief. Just difficult. And St. Therese's approach was to react toward this sister very much like she liked her. She wanted to please her. She came across as though this sister was her favorite. In the end, it is reported that the sister came to her and said, why do you like me so much? So you're modeling something that a very, very popular saint in the Catholic Church did, your style, which was to take your boss's behavior and turn it around. St. Paul said that. He said, when somebody mistreats you, treat them nicely back. That's like putting hot coals on their head. He did. That's an old way of talking about making somebody feel bad about what they're doing. So you've decided and stumbled upon and worked out, Henry, a great philosophy. You're going to make a look-back call. Thanks, Henry. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, buddy. Well, I got to run. Few more seconds left on the program. I want to thank Andrew Kruchek, producer man, Eric Dumont, call screamer man,
I don't have to say person because they're men. And I want to thank you for the calls. Good Lord permitting, again, those of you in the Dallas, Guadalupe turf listening area, be down at Grapevine, Texas. Two talks on this coming Thursday, the 13th. If you want information on that, go to McElhart of Mary homeschool conferences. You'll find out where it is. I got to find out where it is yet. Still don't quite know. If I knew, I'd tell you. So 877 is the number for next time. I'm Dr. Ray. Appreciate the company. Walk with God. If you have children, hold them tightly by the hand. Sometimes you have to lean way over for the little ones, you know, especially the ones just learning to walk.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.